Jesus, I just thank you for bringing us all together. It's a great thing to be able to go to church and to worship you. And Lord, I know that you've got some things that you're wanting to say to us tonight. And I just really pray that you would do that through your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight I want to talk about the subject, standing with strong convictions. And we just sang a song, The Stand, I'll Stand. And from where I stand, and from my own experiences, I see many things that happen to us in our journeys, in our lives, that have the potential to really trip us up and trip us up bad. Genesis 4 says this. It says, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. The young people out the back in the morning, the kids' church, Life Streams Church, that's one of their memory verses. And they say it with great gusto, but sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. Now, I know most of us in this room tonight, we all face battles of some sort. Right now, we are facing battles. And my hope is that God would speak to you in some way, whatever it is that you might be facing. And we're going to talk about some of those battles in a minute. Last year, I'm pretty sure that I didn't share this little story with this congregation. It might have been just a group of guys. This little story is probably a story that the guys will be able to relate to a little bit more than the women. But ladies, it's good for you to hear what we battle with. Last year, I had the privilege of marrying my cousin. No, I didn't marry her. I did the marriage for my cousin and for her husband. And it was over in Cairns. It was really cool. They flew me over. I got to see Ayers Rock. And anyway, I got there straight off the plane, and I walk into, you know, my uncle standing there. Come on, man, we're going to the Bucks. And I thought, oh, great. I wasn't really prepared for this Bucks. And anyway, we rocked up there, and it was at a hockey club, so it was just, you know, it was just club rooms. And there was all these guys there that I didn't know. There was some family members that I did know. And it was great because I got to meet with some family that I hadn't really seen before, hadn't seen for a long time. And good conversations, great food. Man, there was so much meat. It was unreal, meat and prawns. Oh, it was good. And we're sitting down, we're eating, and good conversation. Then all of a sudden, four girls walked in. And I don't know whether I actually saw them walk in, but I definitely saw them walk out of the change rooms. I'm not going to go into any detail because you don't need anything like that in your mind's eye. But when I saw these four girls start serving all these men drinks, I thought to myself, oh my goodness, I've got to get out of here. And fortunately, my cousin, he's about my age, and he sort of nudged me in the ribs. And he goes, hey, you know, you're a man of the cloth. They all go, you're a man of the cloth. I don't even know what that means. He goes, you're a man in the cloth. What's the deal? Like, are you allowed to stand here and watch this? And I said to him, do I look like I'm comfortable? And he goes, no, that's why I asked you. And I said to him, mate, I've got to get out of here. And fortunately, he had a car, and he said, all right, mate, let's go. And he grabbed me, and we went. And it was only like half an hour, 45 minutes into this Bucks night. It actually went fairly pear-shaped from there, and I'm not going to go into it. But unfortunately, today we face all sorts of battles. We're bombarded, especially males, and I know that increasingly for females this is becoming an issue too. We're faced with images that are just not helpful. Internet, movies, advertising. I think some of you may have heard me say this before, but I remember sitting in Melbourne at a set of lights. I was in the hire car, and I looked up, and there's this huge billboard of this, all I can say is, a gorgeous woman with not much on. And then the little caption underneath says, the light has now turned green. And I looked up, and sure enough, it had. And so I went through the set of lights. You know, those images, those stories, unfortunately, will remain in my mind's eye for quite some time. And there's some research on that, and I know I heard it one time when we were talking about it, all the blokes, but you know, it only takes a couple of seconds for us to get that image in our mind, but it takes a long, long time to get rid of it, to forget it. And you know, it stays in our mind's eye, and it crouches. It crouches at the door, and it waits, for a vulnerable time. Now, what temptations do you face? What's crouching at your door? What is it that desires to have you? You know, where are you vulnerable? And what does Satan attack in you? You know, just have a think about that for a tick. Just for yourself. All our journeys are different. All our stories are different. We all are different. And so Satan goes for where your vulnerabilities are. What are they? Here's just a few things that I've thought of. I've already talked about lust, pornography. I'm going to talk about substance abuse. And I know that some of us in this room are probably facing a battle with some sort of addiction to a substance. What about other addictions like gambling, again, pornography? Or what about just simply spending too much money, addicted to maybe even shopping, addicted to something, to filling in that void that's in our lives? What about the temptation to get rid of God because we are facing some sort of trial, or we're feeling pain or hurt or suffering? You know, sometimes when we lose a loved one and we just blame it on God, oh, God, why did you allow that to happen? And we're tempted to just throw God out because of the stuff that we go through, that life throws at us. Or what about gossiping or speaking badly about someone? We all face battles. We all have things that Satan uses to try and trip us up. And, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, do we have a hope? Is there a hope in this current, in our current set of circumstances, in our world today? Is there hope? Is there hope for us to be people, the people of God, who can stand up against all that crud that the devil throws at us? I want us to go to Ephesians 6. And when I want us to look at the armour of God, all right, let's start in verse 10. Yeah, it's up there. You can follow us on. That'd be really good. It says this. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Kind of, as you read these words, you get the feeling like you're getting prepared for war. And as we break this down a bit, and the video did it very well, is it breaks it up into three areas. And the first area is know your enemy. The second area is looking at what are our defenses, what are the things that are going to extinguish, as the scripture says, the flaming arrows. And then the third thing, what have we got offensively? Because God's not about us being all about, you know, defense. It's we've got to get out there and we've got to fight. And we've got to make a significant difference to this world in which we live. So the first thing we're going to talk about is know your enemy. And just a couple of scriptures there. 1 Peter 5 verse 8 says, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." It's pretty straightforward. And then in Ephesians 6, verse 12, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Tonight, I don't know whether you're awake or not in this whole area, but my hope is that you would wake up if you're not awake on this whole area. We need to be awake to the fact that the devil wants to destroy us. That is a fact. And as I was thinking about this, you know, he's just so good at tricking us and making us think that it's all good. You know, we get comfortable. You know, there's nothing weird or cosmic going on around you. It's all what we see. And he also convinces us that sin will have no effect and it definitely won't kill us. But what do we know from the scriptures? The wages of sin is what? It's death. It's going to kill us. You know what? We have an enemy. That enemy is called the devil. And people, tonight, we are in a spiritual battle. If you're not awake to that fact, you need to be awake to it. We're fighting in a battle that is very serious, and one that has the potential to do a lot of damage to us and to the people around us. So that's the first thing, got to know our enemy. Okay? The second thing is, let's look at some of the defensive things. I'm just going to try to move fairly quickly through the different areas of the armor and try and give you some insight into what they are and what they're for. So it's interesting that as you go through Ephesians 6 and the different elements of the armor get put on in the order of what the actual soldier would put them on. It's quite interesting. And the first one that they talk about is the belt of truth buckled around your waist. And I just want to read out just a little bit of, I guess, historical stuff on these different areas. And this particular historical thing says this. It says, first of all, the belt tied tightly around the waist indicated that the soldier was prepared for action. To slacken the belt off meant that it was finished, time to go off duty. The belt was not an ornament, but served as an essential purpose. It gathered in the short tunic and helped keep the breastplate in place when the latter was fitted on. From it hung the scabbard in which the sword was sheathed. So what is the importance of this belt of truth buckled around your waist? It's interesting, if you go to some of the older translations, it actually says this really interesting thing called, it basically says this, it says, "Gird your loins." Have you ever heard of that before? You know, in the older translations, I'm thinking, "Gird your loins." Now, my understanding of the word "gird" is like to sort of hedge in or protect, and loins was kind of, you know, this area. And it's interesting that some commentators and some people who have studied these verses, they look at it and they go, "Well, it's got to do with sex." You know, because it's about this area and it's got to be about sex, you know. It actually helps you keep your pants on. And I'm thinking, well, they didn't really wear pants back then, did they? So I think it probably does have something to do with sex and knowing the truth about sex and all that sort of stuff. I think there's a little bit of a deeper meaning to it all. Now, I just want to make this statement. Truth holds everything together. You know, knowing what truth is affects who you are and it affects what you do. So you need to be sure that you have God's truth in your heart. It's so important. Now, as we go through these different areas of the armor, I want us to take time for a reality check. And that's the time where I kind of want you to get into your mind's eye and just ponder and allow God the space to speak some stuff to you. So we've got a time for a reality check right here. What I want us to do is to shine the light of truth upon your life right at this point. And what I want it to do is allow God's truth to expose the dark spots that are in your life. And guys, hey, you know, we all think that we're hiding all this stuff from each other, but we're not. We're all in the same boat. We've all got dark spots. And you know what? When we're prepared to face those dark things in our lives, you know, I kind of saw the imagery. God sort of gave me the imagery of us putting the belt on and going, you know what, God, I haven't got it all together. You know, there are some dark spots in my life, but understanding and realizing and admitting that you've got dark spots is the first step in putting this armor on. It's the first step, because what we're saying is, God, hey, yep, I'm not perfect, but I'm going to put this belt of truth on, because your truth exposes the dark spots in my life, and I'm ready to fight. So we're doing it up tight. I'm ready to fight because I want to stand, and I want to stand for you. So the second piece of armor is the breastplate of righteousness. And the breastplate covered the body from the neck to the thighs. It usually was made of bronze. But the more affluent officers wore a coat of chain mail too. So, you know, you see in movies like Gladiator, the chain, and that was really good for protection. But you needed a lot of money to have one of those. The front piece was strictly the breastplate, but often soldiers would have one on the back as well. So what does the breastplate protect? What does this part protect? The chest. What does the chest protect? Our hearts. So I think our heart is very, very linked to this part of the armor. And go with me on some of this. Proverbs 4 verse 23 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." Guard your heart. And then our hearts are just so important. And I think that our hearts often respond in two ways. And the first way is that our hearts, especially towards God, can be hard at times. And this is what a hard heart looks like. Matthew 15, verse 9. It says this, "For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make man unclean." You know, that is the manifestation of a hard heart. It's got nothing to do with the things of God. But the other form, or the other manifestation of our hearts, is to be soft. And you know, that same heart that has the potential for Matthew 15 also has the potential to be so soft and be about the things of God. And that, I think, is linked to what it means to be righteous. Now, righteous is uprightness and integrity of character. That's what righteousness is. And God wants us to live that way. He wants us to live with soft hearts. He wants us to be people of righteousness, people of right living, people of good character. You know, I'm reminded of the verse, "Love the Lord God with all your..." It's one of the commandments, isn't it? Love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And you know what? The devil knows that when our hearts are sold out, when our hearts are soft, when we have this breastplate of righteousness on, we're almost untouchable, because he can't get out our hearts. He can't do things to us that make our hearts hard towards God. God wants us to have soft hearts. All right, time for a reality check. Are there parts of your character that remain hard towards God? And you know what? This hardness compromises your heart. And it puts a question mark on your integrity. Are there parts of your character that remain hard towards God's Spirit? Let's have a think about that for a tick. Okay, the third piece of armor is this. Feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Now, when I first sort of looked at, you know, Roman soldiers, well, they didn't have steel caps back then. And you look at these sort of Australian steel caps and you think, oh my goodness, there's not much there to protect, is it? But it comes with so much meaning, and I just want to share some of that with you. The soldier puts on his strong army boots, or also described as shoes, thickly studded with sharp nails. And I guess they're talking about, as you can see, I don't know whether you can see, but I guess the sole is what they're talking about there. So as to ensure a good grip. The military successes both of Alexander the Great and of Julius Caesar were due in large measure to their armies being well shod and thus able to undertake long marches at incredible speed over really rough terrain. And you know what? The Roman soldiers knew that the feet were just so important when it came to battle, and they tried to do whatever they could to make the feet ready for battle and comfortable. And you often see in some of the World War One and World War Two movies in Gallipoli and all that sort of stuff, and even Band of Brothers. I don't know whether you've seen Band of Brothers, but the boots, and if the feet got really cold, in trouble. It's just not a good thing to have bad feet. And I reckon that's for two reasons. And the first reason is our feet are our foundation, okay? Our feet are what we stand on, isn't it? So we stand on two feet. So our foundations need to be really good. And our foundation is the truth of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And having this foundation gives us this peace. You know, it talks about a peace, the gospel of peace. It gives us a peace to go into battle and to fight, knowing that we have this gospel of peace. It also, I think the second thing is, it's our transportation. Our feet also take us places. So we walk on our feet. And this part of it is, as you kind of read other translations of this verse and this piece of armor, it actually talks about the fact that we need to be prepared and we need to be ready to share this gospel of peace wherever we might be or wherever God has us placed in our world. You know, think about that for a minute. Are you fighting for souls wherever God has you placed? Let's have a reality check. Do you put yourself in places of vulnerability? Or do you try to position yourself in places where God can and does use you? Just think about that for a tick. Places of vulnerability. I don't need to go into that. Young people, especially. Or are you positioning yourself in places where God can use you to fight for the people in your life who you know don't have a relationship with Christ? Okay, the next one is a shield of faith. It refers to the large oblong or oval shield that the Roman soldier held in front of him for protection. It consisted of two layers of wood glued together, covered with linen and hide, and bound with iron. Soldiers often fought side by side with a solid wall of shields. And you may have seen that in some of the movies where the front line, they lock in together so that it provides a really good shield for everyone else behind. But even a single-handed combatant found himself sufficiently protected by one of these shields. So what has faith got to do with this? Shield of faith. What has faith got to do with us standing in the face of all these flaming arrows that the devil's firing our way? You know, and as I was thinking about faith, the classic truth about faith is that faith without deeds is what? It's dead, isn't it? So if we don't actually put our faith into practice, it's dead. And so the shield of faith, I think symbolically sort of means this. Without faith and without deeds, we just don't move. We're paralyzed. Having faith actually allows us to move forward with confidence and with no fear, because it's protected. We're in behind it. And with this faith, we can extinguish those arrows that the devil is firing at us. All right, reality check. What's your faith force field set to at the moment? Is it set on high, or is it set on low? A low setting sees you paralyzed in fear, unable to move forward in the things of God. So a low setting looks like, you know, you're struggling in faith at the moment. And when we struggle in faith, we're unable to move forward. We're not able to put into action our faith, our deeds. Our deeds, faith without deeds is dead. A high level sees you moving forward with confidence. Your faith extinguishes every arrow coming your way. What I want you to do now, just very quickly, is just turn to the person next to you. And if you feel safe, you know, if you don't feel safe, feel free to just continue to think about it yourself. But just let the person next to you know where your faith force field is set right at this point. Is it low or is it high? And it can be in the middle if you want. Let's go for it. Just quickly, just share with the person next to you. Okay. I hope you're getting this. Hope this is making sense. It makes sense to me. The shield of faith. The shield of faith. Oh, we did that. The helmet of salvation. That's the next one. All right. The helmet of salvation covered the head. It was made of bronze with leather attachments. No leather attachments on that one, but that's okay. It was often given to the soldier by his armor bearer, which is symbolic of the fact that salvation has been given to us. Many soldiers back in their day had an armor bearer, someone who would help them suit up for battle. And it's interesting how the scripture actually says that the helmet was given to them. And it's almost like this beautiful picture of what salvation is to us. Salvation has been given to us. And so with this helmet, what does the helmet protect? It's pretty simple. It's our head, okay, or our mind. And you know what? Satan can't make us sin. And that's a good truth to know. But you know what? He's a master at persuading us to do it. In John 8, verse 44, it says this about Satan. He is a liar and the father of all lies. The father of lies. And you know what? This devil is crouching at the door of your life, and he is looking to destroy you. And I've said that already. The accuser will do his best to get you to believe that you're not good enough. One, the amount of time that I've sat down with a young person or even older people, and they just share with me, I just don't feel good enough. Like I think God looks at me and he just thinks, I'm not good enough. I sin, I make mistakes. That's a lie. It's a lie from the devil. You are good enough. And the only reason you're good enough is because Jesus took your place. The other lie that he's very good at getting people to think is, oh my goodness, I don't know whether I'm saved or not. And salvation, that's what we're talking about, being saved. Getting into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And he is the master at causing you to doubt your salvation, to doubt who you are in Christ. Time for a reality check. In order to stand in this fight, you must know without a shadow of a doubt that you are saved. You've got to know that without the shadow of a doubt. And tonight, to anyone here that just has a small seed of doubt. You know, I want to talk to you. There are pastors here, people here, someone you might have come with who might want to just talk to you about that. I want you to go home tonight knowing without a shadow of a doubt that you are saved. So please don't leave with that shadow of doubt in your mind. Because if we've got that, if we've got even a hint of doubt, the devil has a foothold in our lives. And we can't fight, we can't stand when the devil's got a foothold. All right, we've looked at all the defensive things in our armor. Now I would like us to look at some of the offensive things that God has given us. The things that we're able to use to fight with. This is the bit I like. Let's fight, eh? All right, the first thing is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That might be a bit small there for you, but I'll read it out to you when we get there. It's interesting that the short, two-edged, cut and thrust sword wielded by heavily armed legionary. So it was only a short sword, double-edged, and you know that in scriptures the double-edged thing comes up, that the Word of God cuts like a two-edged sword. Jesus used scripture, didn't he, in Matthew, when he had 40 days of prayer and fasting and he was tempted. And what did he do to overcome the devil? He used scripture. And I don't know about you, but Jesus is such a good example in every other way of life. This is another really great example of how we can overcome and how we can defeat the devil by using scripture. There are many places in scripture where God encourages us to make God's words an essential part of our daily lives. And Psalm 119, just read this out. It says, "Oh, how I love your law." I mean, that's not a really good sort of way of talking about God's word, but, you know, we don't live in law anymore. We live in freedom, but you get my point. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path, so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. Man, who wants that? Man, who wants to be able to open up the Word of God and that it be like honey on our lips? Instead, we look at the Word of God as an inconvenience, something we've got to do in order for us to be accepted in this thing we call church. We've got to change that, don't we? That thinking. The Word of God is a great, great thing. And I just repeat it out, this. So I've kept my feet from every evil path so that I might obey your word. The Word of God helps us to be and to live a righteous life. And young people, if you're not reading the Word of God, how can you expect to stand? You know, I've got to a point now, if somebody, maybe I'll talk on my behalf. If I'm not doing too good, I can automatically go ask myself, how much have I been in the Word this last bit? I know the answer. Hasn't been a lot. We're vulnerable, guys. We're vulnerable when we don't take up this sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and fight. You know, when we're not reading the Word of God, it's like putting the sword down and going, okay, let's go. We're on. It's stupid, isn't it? Like, why would you go into battle without a sword? We're setting ourselves up for failure. Reality check time. How important is the Word of God to you? Don't be someone who goes into battle without a sword. And you know, probably in our minds we're thinking, so what does that look like? Does that mean, oh, I've got to do, you know, the journal every week, and I've got to read all of those chapters, and if I tick those boxes, it'll all be okay. And I meet the standard that this church sets. And I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you about this whole area. And let him go, all right, David, you know, I miss you, mate. You're not spending much time with me. I want you to read my words because they're good for you. They're like honey, sweet on your lips. They're there to encourage you, to help you stand, to walk straight and good paths. Get into it. And you know what? You don't have to read all those chapters. You don't have to tick all those boxes. You just need to spend time with Jesus, reading his word. And for some of you, it might be two verses. For some of you, you might actually miss a day. Oh my goodness, you missed a day. But allow the Holy Spirit to go, hey, where have you been? You haven't read my word for a couple of days. Time to get back into it. Hope you hear my heart there. How important is the word of God to you? The second offensive weapon is prayer. Now, it's really interesting. If you look and track through that Ephesians 6 passage, it talks about the armor and it says that the word of God is a weapon. It doesn't actually put prayer in the artillery as one of the parts of the armor. And I find that interesting. But then as I studied it and as I looked at it a bit closer, the commentators actually believe that prayer wasn't something that you put on. Prayer was a part of absolutely everything that you did as a human being. You didn't put it on. You didn't take it up, or you didn't put a helmet on. Prayer was something that you did. And the early church did all the time, and the early church knew exactly what that meant, because we have scriptures in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 6. We're up the screen there for you. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. You know, if you're someone who sits there and goes, oh, I wonder what God's will is for my life. I just wish God would give me that big plan for my life. Because at the moment, I'm just moseying on through life and I'm waiting for God to give me his will. If you want to know what God's will is, well, part of God's will is that. Pray continually. Be joyful and thankful in all situations. That's God's will for your life. And if you want to know more about what God's will for your life is, take up the sword of the Spirit. Read the Word of God. And therein you will discover what God's will is for you. The modern church, unfortunately, has made prayer this thing that we put on. And I hope I'm not being too harsh there. But I pray that you will be a Christ follower that prays continually, that prays unceasingly and prays on all occasions. What does that look like? It doesn't mean, you know, as you're driving going, oh God, you know, because if you take your hands off the wheel, it's not good. But be someone who in your mind is continually connected to God and speak to him. Don't have to get on your knees. You don't have to be in the pose of prayer all the time, but you can be in an attitude of prayer 24/7. Or maybe not when you're asleep. But God still works when we are asleep. James 5, verse 16. I love this verse. The prayer of a righteous man, and I always put / woman, is powerful and effective. Did you get that? Man. If the church of today began to understand half of what that means, look out. You know, having said that, you know how the modern church, we put prayer on. You know, having said that, you know, we don't need to do that, but I long for the day when Thursday nights in this place is more attended than any other thing that we put on in this church. Because I think we will, when it does get to that point, when it is our biggest gathering that this church puts on, I think that we have come to the realization that we can't and God can. You know, those simple words, I can't, but you can. You know, a couple of Thursdays back when we were praying for addictions and people in addictions, what a powerful night. I only got to stay for half, but it was unbelievable because when you think of addictions, and especially drug addictions, because you know, some of us are journeying in that at the moment with some of our brothers and sisters, you just think, God, you know, there's nothing I can do to help this person. But you know what? You can. You can break that habit. You can cause the impossible to happen in these people's lives so that they get better. And that on Thursday was a beautiful, beautiful indication of us as a church just going, hey, we can't. We've almost tried everything, and we can't, but we know, God, you can. So I pray that our prayer would continue to be such an important part of this church. Time for a reality check. You know, prayer is a powerful weapon. And when you look at your prayer life, does it indicate reliance upon self, or reliance upon God? Only you can answer that question. How do you answer that? Well, it's probably time to wrap this baby up. We've looked at knowing our enemy, and this is, it's a good strategy. Whenever we go into battle, we've got to know our enemy. And there's a devil, we're in a spiritual battle. That is the reality, that is the truth. We need to look at our defenses, make sure that the devil can't get those flaming arrows through. And then we need to take up the things that God's given us so that we can actually stand and we can fight and we can make a significant impact on this world. They're the three areas that I've talked about, and I'm wondering whether there's anyone here tonight who wants to stand. You know, you're sick of all the stuff that's been going down in your life. And by standing tonight, you're saying, I've had enough. I can't do this anymore. I need to put you on, God. I need to rely on your Holy Spirit because I just can't. I'm not winning this battle off my own bat. Are you prepared to put this armor on? And are you prepared to stand and fight? Are you prepared to stand and fight against injustice? Are you prepared to fight for those who are oppressed and exploited right across our world? Children oppressed and exploited right across our world. Are you prepared to stand and fight against that? Are you prepared to fight and stand against temptation? You know what? God, in another place in his word, says that he will always provide a way out when you are faced with temptation. And that's so good. That means that we've got a choice. We've got two choices, haven't we? Two choices are do our own thing, and that usually probably ends up in us sinning. Or we have the option of taking God's way out. And that leads to freedom. That leads to the place where God wants us to be. Choose wisely when you're faced with temptation. That's for me too. Are you prepared to stand and fight against addictions? Maybe you're addicted to something tonight. You know, in this room full of all these people, there's bound to be those of us who journey with addictions. Are you prepared to stand in against the sin that you are knowingly committing in your life? Are you prepared to stand against that? Are you also prepared to stand and fight as you face pain and suffering? You know, you might be going through something in your life right now that is just not fair. And that causes you to go, God, why me? Why have you allowed this to happen to me? Are you someone who's prepared to stand and fight against that lie that the devil places in our minds and that says, God is the one that causes all this stuff? Are you prepared to fight and to stand with God's word? You know, if you don't have a Bible tonight, we'd love to give you one. We're a church. We've got Bibles, and we want to give them to you. Come and get one off me after the service. We also have the journals that are simply a tool to help you read this, God's word. And if you want a journal, please feel free to ask for one of them as well. Are you prepared to pray continually? And are you prepared to stand for Jesus? You know, the one who stood and fought for our sin. The one who went to the cross for us. Are you prepared to stand for Jesus in your workplace, in your university, in your school, in your family? Are you prepared to stand? We're going to sing that song, The Stand, again. Just a great way of responding. Our hearts. That's all we can do, is give God our hearts and to say to Him, you know, I can't do this, but You can. And what I want you to do is, if you're prepared to sing that with all your heart, I want you to stand and I want you to sing. As a commitment to the one who has given us the strength to stand. As soon as we start thinking that, hey, we can do this, we have obviously choices to make in it. But if we think that we can do this ourselves, we're fooling ourselves. The devil's already got in there. It's only by and through God's strength that we can stand. And then we put on what He has provided for us, and we stand and we fight. I also wanted to just, if there's anybody who wants to chat through anything that God may have highlighted in you as we did our reality checks, I'd love to sit down with you and to stand with you. Sit down, we'll stand and we'll pray and we'll work some of that through. Especially the area about doubt, you know, doubting whether you're good enough, doubting whether you're saved here tonight. We don't want the devil sowing into that anymore. Know without a shadow of doubt that you are a Christ follower before you go tonight. So there are many people who'd love to do that. Stand with you and pray, journey with you in whatever issues that you might be facing. So let's sing. Let's sing this song as a commitment to standing and fighting with the armor that God has given us.